Happy birthday today to lead guitarist from Poison, CC DeVille, who turns, if you can believe it, 59 years old today. Nothing But a Good Time, one of their big hits. Every Rose Has Its Thorn went to number one back in 1988. Poison sold 45 million records worldwide. It broke up for a while because, well, CC DeVille kept playing the wrong songs in concert. That might get you fired occasionally from a band. But they reunited. I think they're still playing together as a four-piece. Brett Michaels does do solo stuff too, of course. 59 years old today for CC DeVille, lead guitarist from Poison. Scott Bertram filling in for Steve this morning here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us. SteveGruber.com, at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter, and also me, at Scott Bertram on Twitter, SCOTBERTRAM. We're joined on the phone lines now by Mike DeGrandis, Senior Litigation Counsel at the New Civil Liberties Alliance. You can find more about them at nclalegal.org. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, tell us briefly as we get started, what is the New Civil Liberties Alliance?
Well, we're a nonpartisan public interest law firm. Our primary mission is, I think you'd say, to restrain the administrative state and its overreach as it implicates our civil liberties, to sort of keep it in its constitutional lane to the extent that that's possible. And we do that primarily through original litigation in state and federal courts.
And speaking of federal courts, there's a case that hoping to get in front of the U.S. Supreme Court to look at some of the actions from Governor Baker out in Massachusetts on COVID-19 restrictions. What's that case all about? What's the matter at hand?
Yeah, that's right. So in the matter of DesRosiers versus Baker, this is a case that I filed in Massachusetts State Court back in June 1st, 2020. And its focus was really to challenge Governor Baker's emergency COVID-19 orders because he was violating the separation of powers. So there are a couple of state law statutory interpretation issues. That was really the core of the case. But we also had these other federal claims, and those federal claims being that the orders, some of the orders, not all of the orders, but some of the orders violated the plaintiff's rights to peaceably assemble, First Amendment, and the 14th Amendment right to due process, procedural and substantive. And what we're doing in the Supreme Court, you're asking the Supreme Court to review those federal constitutional issues. While the highest court in Massachusetts, the Supreme Judicial Court, decided against us on these issues, they're only the final say when it comes to state law interpretation. They are not the final say when it comes to the right to peaceably assemble or the right to substantive due process. And those are the two issues we're going to focus on before the Supreme Court.
And look, he's not the only governor. Governor Baker is not the only governor to have COVID restrictions like this. Have similar issues been litigated at other various state courts, and have we seen a case like this hit the U.S. Supreme Court as of yet?
Well, yeah, you're right that Massachusetts isn't necessarily unique. I think a lot of your listeners are under a similar sort of regime. I think it was 43 governors between mid-March and early April last year used emergency statutes to take control of the government and take control over the policymaking that's typically left for legislatures. The Supreme Court has considered, I think it's about three cases related to COVID-19. These cases have been limited to really free exercise claims. So First Amendment claims, we have a First Amendment claim in assembly. So there's definitely a lot of similarity there as far as how the court would analyze the problem. But they haven't taken up larger claims about due process, those sorts of things. And so what we've seen in state courts is that the decision is split. Cases in state courts like Massachusetts, we lost in state courts, but you'll see that it was in Michigan that the Michigan Supreme Court did say that the governor's executive orders were unconstitutional. And so there is a mixed bag out there, and I think it's important that the Supreme Court decide to take this case because it is discretionary. They don't have to hear it. But I hope that they do take it up to consider these really important issues that have national implications.
Talking with Mike DeGrandis from the New Civil Liberties Alliance. You can find them at nclalegal.org. There's more information on this case up there as well. Certainly with the CDC's announcement yesterday, Mike, and other states who are moving in this direction, we might see this issue resolved before the Supreme Court takes the case, meaning all these restrictions could be dropped for whatever reason. Is it still important to have the Supreme Court weigh in on this case if the matter at hand sort of has been resolved?
Yeah, I think it's very important that they resolve this, whether there are emergency orders in place or not. At least in Massachusetts, and this is true in most places in the country, that if you can declare an emergency and if a governor can essentially make whatever law he wants by decree, and if those laws, for example, in our case, violate people's right to peaceably assemble or their substantive due process rights because, you know, he's defining your business or your activity as essential or non-essential, whatever it might be, that means that person can do it whenever he or she wants. And so you can't just moot the case. You can't just make the case irrelevant by saying that you're going to end the emergency if you're really claiming the authority to issue these edicts without input from legislatures in particular, but any edict that would infringe upon your civil liberties. No, we need to decide this now so that we don't let this happen again.
And a real question that needs to be answered, I think, is where do the legislatures fit in, both in Massachusetts and in other states across the country? What are their powers? What are they able to do when one of these orders from an executive, like in Massachusetts, ends up coming down? What's the role for the legislatures?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question because it does vary across the country. What happens in most places is what happened in Massachusetts. The role of the legislature is to exercise the police power. And the police power is a legal term that's really just referring to the power of a state government to regulate the health, safety, welfare, morals of the community. There's a lot of power there. There's a lot of opportunity to abuse power in that. And that's why it's left to legislatures, elected representatives. And when I understand that in the face of emergency, sometimes you need swift executive action. That's at the early stages, and the Supreme Court addressed that in its Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn versus Cuomo case on Thanksgiving, or it's actually the day before Thanksgiving, where the court had sort of changed course from earlier in the pandemic in May. And by November, they said, well, you know, in May, we were pretty deferential to governors, but these are executive orders. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution does not, well, courts don't shelter in place while the Constitution is under attack. I think that's what Justice Gorsuch had said about that.
Mike DeGrandis from the New Civil Liberties Alliance. Find out more about them and the case at nclalegal.org. Mike Say, with the organization as an attorney. Mike, thanks so much for joining us this morning here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. nclalegal.org. Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber.
Over the past year, we've experienced incredible uncertainty. Businesses across the state have been shut down. Unemployment skyrocketed, and Michiganders have been left wondering, what's next? And throughout this turmoil, your Michigan Chamber has been fighting for you to protect lives and livelihoods. We know that we're all in this together. Michiganders are strong and resilient, and we know that working together, we can bring Michigan back.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
You see it in the headlines every day. The price of everything is going up, and nothing's going up faster than the cost of energy. What if your heating and cooling bill doubled or tripled? What would that mean to you and your family? For most people, it would be devastating. It's time you learned about WellConnect. With WellConnect, you might be able to cut your utility costs by hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars a year. And if you already have a well in the yard, you already have the key piece of equipment for a 100% renewable energy source. That's right, you're welcoming the heart of a WellConnect hybrid geothermal system. WellConnect is a Michigan-made solution to cutting your utility bills. In the last year alone, WellConnect reduced propane consumption by 1 million gallons, saving Michigan homeowners over $1 million. Why gamble on the price of energy? Get connected to WellConnect. Right now, you can still qualify for a 26% federal tax credit and utility rebates, but they won't be here forever. Find out more right now. Visit WellConnectSaves.com, WellConnectSaves.com, or call 989-356-2113. WellConnect.
The beauty of high school sports is the benefits the kids playing the games receive. The benefit of belonging to something. The donning of the school uniform, the pep assemblies, homecoming, playing games they love in front of family and friends, things you won't find anywhere else in youth sports. Show your support for the kids by heading out to a high school game in your community soon. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.